Hey, you're on Cheap Date. You're listening to Cheap Date, that is. My name is Kathy Array. I'm your host, and this is Heritage Radio Network here at Roberta's Pizza. Today's sponsor to thank is Fairway Market, like no other market.
Awesome.
And we got some... Our producer is, of course, as always, Jack Inslee, and Nat Wiener is our engineer. So today, we have guests as well. Two folks from the city who work for the city for the Council on the Environment of
Council on the Environment of New York City.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. The Council on the Environment for New York City.
It's a mouthful.
Scenic, for short. We have Liz Carollo, publicity coordinator for the Green Market. Thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks.
And Mike Resney, who your post is officially...
I'm a project manager for the Open Space Greening Program.
Awesome. Yeah. And you guys are also a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
A little over a year now.
Wow. So, and you
debatable.
Both...
Here we go.
When's the anniversary here? Is that a...
Today, a year and 2 months. Today.
Really? Today?
Yeah. Oh, a year and 2 months today.
A year and 2 months. Oh, you're good. Oh. Okay. You got this down.
We do one radio show a month, actually. That's how we remember.
You always get the same questions. Darn. All right. So how did you guys meet? Were you working on a project? Did you just run into each other? You work in the same building, right?
Yeah, we work in the same building. We do kind of the same job. So if we want to... We can kind of do things together.
Right.
So we both do some volunteer coordination. I did a couple events in gardens.
So you like to mix projects together so you can have the opportunity to work together.
We can. Yeah. In the spring we did like around Mother's Day, Mike did like a family portrait day in a garden and I made strawberry shortcakes outside of the garden in the East Village to like try and rope people in so they would stop. And
it sounds like you're trying to rope him in too.
She was already hooked by then though. Yeah. We already dated.
This is an interesting way of dating though. Yeah. Will you make strawberry shortcakes for this project? It's right. Totally work related. Totally.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. With Cool Whip.
It does make your job more fun. Yeah.
With Cool Whip.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'll bring the strawberry syrup.
Don't you guys work for Green Market Farmers? What's with the Cool Whip?
No. Creme fraiche. Creme fraiche.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I've been looking for creme fraiche.
Yeah, Ronnie Brook.
Ronnie Brook has it?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're the always ones that are I know. Sold out on it.
Yeah. They always keep it on the table. They're at... Mm-hmm. They're coming to market all winter.
Right.
So.
Yeah. They're always there. They had eggnog on Saturday.
Yeah. We drank a lot of it last
that
night.
Up. That's pretty simple. Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. We had our Green Market into the season party and drank a lot of eggnog.
Good. Mm-hmm. And I've been making a lot of hot chocolate with their milk, their whole milk. I love how the cream goes all the way to the top.
Yeah.
And it's just so thick after you heat it.
Wow.
It's like cream. It's like eggnog. Almost.
Yeah. Pretty tasty.
But hot and chocolatey. Okay. Not really then. So, actually, so that brings me to another thought I had the other day. I was talking to somebody who I happen to be dating, and it was, there's like little things about food that can easily turn the other person off. Like if you, I don't know, and I was thinking, I was like, I don't know if I could date somebody who didn't care too much about food. Like they eat at McDonald's all the time. Mm-hmm. I can accept, you know, going for nachos every now and then or something like that. But somebody like something like food values or what you put into your body matters a lot.
Mike is a little anti.
I would say I'm not anti food. You know, I went to school in the city, so I've been around for a while. I have my places, you know. So I think Liz likes to cook a lot more than I do.
Yeah. But you
or
like
period.
To eat what I cook, so that kind of works out.
That mm-hmm. totally works
for the most
out.
Part.
Yeah.
Do you guys cook a lot together?
We cohabitate the same room when we're cooking. Mm-hmm. One person is usually cooking, another
right.
person is usually sitting.
Yeah,
but you
out.
Guys must have so much like fresh produce at the end of the day.
I have
is
a lot
something?
Of stuff coming in. It actually works out in the season where we're so busy and we have like, you know, 60 something markets operating weekly and all it was a little better this season, but in the past it's like coming home at 9 o'clock at night from the office and picking up a slice of pizza, you know,
yeah,
in like the height of the season. So it's not really until fall, even in fall it's better anyway because I like all the fall vegetables better than, you know, the squash and tomatoes and corn.
Winter squash.
Yeah, I like the winter
like
squash and Brussels sprouts.
Summer.
Yeah,
oh.
so much. So when it slows down a little bit, then I can like cook at home and I like that.
Because that stuff usually takes more time to cook.
I think it's because I'm not a very good cook. So mm-hmm. I want to just just make something that's like Brussels sprouts. I can cook a bunch of Brussels sprouts and it's like super hearty and I can just eat that and be full.
Wow, that's interesting. Because usually I hear the opposite. It's like if there's some really good tomatoes, I could just chop them up and be happy with that.
Yeah, but, I gotta get filled up. But I'm from the South, so like everything I make is full of cream and butter and eggs, and that's not really how Mike likes to eat. So
where are you from, Mike?
I'm from Pennsylvania. The Northeast in general is a little more lean than the South, I think, you know.
Obesity rates are lower up here.
It's okay, Liz. You don't show it at all.
Yeah, it would know I live off bacon. Right.
We have some food stories dating wise, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like what?
I brought you a cupcake that one time before we were dating.
Don't remember.
No. It might have been somewhere else, actually.
Whoopie pie.
Yeah, or ice cream sandwiches on the
stove. I think you owe her a cupcake right now.
Yeah, ice cream sandwich. Yeah, that was part of his courting. He brought over ice cream sandwiches one day before we started dating. We sat on the stoop and ate them.
Aww.
Yeah, that was very romantic for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hot summer night.
And for the other five people that got the other ice cream sandwiches in the box.
Yeah. Yeah, but for cooking, I mean, who knows? I make biscuits every week. And yeah, we cook a lot, I guess.
Throughout the week.
Oh, yeah. Maybe like in one day.
In one day.
Yeah. A lot of leftovers, yeah.
Yeah. We do like nights a lot. We'll do like burrito night or chili dog night or something and just invite all our friends over. And
I don't think I've ever done chili dog night, actually.
No, we did chili dog night. We had a big party around it. It wasn't even that long ago.
No, didn't you have a cover band called Chili Dog Night?
Born out of that evening.
I think you should form one now.
Can you sing us a tune,
Mike? Done and done.
Yeah. Right.
So you guys don't actually work at the markets all the time.
I oversee promotions at the market, so mm-hmm. I pop in, you know. But no, most of our work is coming out from the office. Chambers Street.
Okay. Yeah. So for lunch, what do you guys do for lunch?
Chambers Street.
Yeah, it's
okay,
pretty
downtown.
Slim pickings down by our office.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it's bad. We
Where's the closest Green Market?
Oh, the City Hall Market's outside Tuesdays and Fridays.
Okay.
So that's kind of great.
Just Tuesdays and Fridays.
Yeah.
And then grab some stuff. There's the other one near Whole Foods.
Oh, yeah. There's Tribeca. Our Tribeca Market's at Greenwich and Chambers. But the City Hall Market's great. I felt like for a while that we put that market there just because our staff is, because we like want to shop there.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's great, and I don't have to go to Union Square as much because I can just walk outside and get some stuff there. Yeah.
It just sounds funny to be working for this food, making it accessible, and then just not getting able,
yeah,
not being able to
eat. It's just that there's nothing downtown.
No. Yeah,
I used to live downtown. And the only, when I was at NYU, I lived at the Water Street dorm, which is right by the seaport. And the only notable place down there was this lemongrass grill down there. It's like a chain Thai restaurant in New mm-hmm. York. And they would do a happy hour at 5:30, and they would also have karaoke. So if you went at maybe like 6 o'clock, you would see all the Wall Street guys get out of work, come to karaoke, get drunk, hit on the waitresses, sing more karaoke.
That sounds like a good date.
That's so close to our office, and we've never done that.
Yeah, we've never done that.
We can go watch the NYU kids watch the Wall Street guys. Are there Wall Street guys left? The 4-5 drain is so empty. Yeah.
Who's buying this stuff down there in the...
Commuters. Oh, big time. Really. We have a bunch of markets mm-hmm. downtown, Tribeca and Zuccotti Park and Bowling Green. And I think our Bowling Green market supposedly has more people walking through it than even in Union Square. In Union Square, we figure it's like 60,000 people a day walking through, according to like MTA numbers.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So if there's more people at Bowling Green, that's insane. It's all tourists and commuters. Yeah.
Do you think that's risen dramatically in the last years, or is just a gradual increase
yeah,
in traffic?
Gradual. I mean, there's so much commercial activity around there. It's getting more and more. Like a TGI Fridays is about to go in next door.
Oh, gosh.
Right across from Union Square. I mean, just more and more shops and restaurants. And then, you know, it's just a transportation hub. So even, I mean, people are shopping. It's wall-to-wall people shopping, but there's still just a lot of people just walking through.
Have you gotten any complaints about that? Because I know in the summertime, it's a little hustle bustle. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I hear some people that, you know, don't want to shop there because they think it's too crowded. And then we have 48 other markets. So like I live in Greenpoint and yeah, I love my Greenpoint. I love my Greenpoint market. Yeah, it's wonderful. So, you know, but at the same time, all the farmers are there. There's 60 to 70 farmers.
Is there any way to expand? Do you think that you'll be expanding the market?
You mean like adding more farmers or just more space? Maybe. How much space we have is like what we lease from the parks department. And then the artists take up the entire south end. So I think it might be at capacity for a while. Yeah. Especially with the renovations of the park, not quite done yet. So.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of renovations. I always wondered if they're going to encroach upon the whole like ring of the park eventually.
Oh, like circle the whole thing?
Circle the whole thing.
No talk of it, but possibly. I think there's close to 80 farmers there on a Saturday in the height of the season. So pretty good product variety, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Crowded. Yeah.
And I've heard about I don't mean to bring up like all these complaints or anything, but people like, why don't they organize it by, you know, the farmer, by kind of like a produce section in a shopping store,
like meats the watch district
over
or something.
Here, yeah, the dairy over here.
I don't know. I mean, for a lot of it, it's just like, yeah, there's a strategy for the most part, but a lot of it is just almost seniority, like people that have had their spaces and have had them for 30 years or 20 years. So they don't, they're like, not, they don't want to move.
Yeah,
so then we like add different producers camp. In. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It can hurt their business dramatically just moving over like one space, you know, because the customer will look right there, not see them and turn around. So for the most part, it's just you want to keep your space because that's where your customers will remember you. Yeah.
It's a kind of like a mini geographical university.
And you got to shop around. But the market info tent has like a map of the market every single day. So you can go pick up one of those and look and see where everybody is. And yeah, it makes it a little easier.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I understand one of you guys brought in a song today.
Sure did. Yeah. What is it? Fairy Tale of New York.
Yeah, the Pogues.
Pogues. Yeah. One of our favorite Christmas songs.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's listen.
Nice.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you.
Hey, this is Let's Eat In. We're back after a brief musical interlude by the Pogues. I'm Kathy Arway, your host. Our guests today are Mike Renzi, from the city for the council. Oh my gosh, the council for the environment of New York City.
Everyone gets it wrong. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Scenic.
Scenic.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stick with that one. For the green market, for the environment, for the city, and Liz Carrillo, publicity coordinator. So we were just talking about holidays as they're coming up, and you guys are sticking around town.
Mike's gonna go to Pennsylvania for
a few
days.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm staying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, one of our coworkers who lives with Mike was just talking about the Korean spa. What's it called? Spa castle.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go spend a day there.
Oh, I'm supposed to go there tomorrow.
Oh,
how
nice.
Funny.
Yeah,
it'll be like you're coming to my house for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Korean.
Awesome. Yeah,
for those radio listeners.
Right. Yeah, that was the
cool. That's funny. Last week I had my guests were my co-teammates of the Hoppa Kitchen. It's a separate club. It's all about interracial food.
Yeah, Kathy, people. I want to talk to you about that.
Yeah,
I googled you and Liz said we were coming on the show, and you have a half Asian club, right?
Yeah, the Hoppa Kitchen. It's
never,
a cooking.
Never got the invite.
Well, hey, sign up for the mailing list. And we're planning some events for January, so we haven't really buckled down a whole thing yet, a date, but we'll keep you posted. That'd be great.
Come eat there, so That sounds nice.
Yeah, it's just all about fusing foods from different cultures. Some of us have a half-brained notion of having this like mixer night that's like make a hapa, and it's like meet somebody from the from a different race. And I don't know.
A new hapa?
I'm not really that's sure hard. Why. I think you guys are set on that though, yeah. So you don't need to come. Well, you can come, actually.
It'd be a quarter, anyway.
Yeah, we'd be inspiration.
So do you cook any Korean food at home?
No, never.
Never? You never picked up any home skills?
No, well, my mom is Korean, yeah. You know, so she cooked a little bit of Korean food when I was growing up, but for the most part, no.
But she makes her own sausage, which I'm always like, right?
Whoa.
Did you say that once?
No.
Really?
No.
Really? Oh, your dad makes bread.
He makes bread, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I must have asked him like a million times if his mom makes kimchi just because I really want to go learn from someone that knows how.
Yeah.
And he says no every time, but I always ask thinking, maybe the answer's going to change. He's going to remember that his mom's like a master kimchi maker. Yeah.
Well, it's not too hard to find out from, you know.
Right,
It's actually really fun. And with winter cabbage.
Everything coming in, I know. Mm-hmm.
I'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. The last, the Sever article a couple months ago, the cover, it was all about kimchi and it's a good article and there's a ton of recipes in there. So I was like, well, maybe I'll just, you know, give it a shot.
Napa cabbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can take it to your first hapa dinner.
Yeah. And actually in a couple of weeks, I'm having, Keetum Ove, who makes Mom O's kimchi on the show.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's pretty good. I bought it before.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Nice.
So you guys cooked dinner last night?
We had a green market party. Mostly like
we ate last night.
Yeah. Oh, we had a big Christmas ham and I made like, I don't know, 40 biscuits or something.
I've been hearing so much about hams lately.
Yeah, lots of good. It was like we made this maple glaze. It was a packet and you boil water with it and it like thickens really up.
It wasn't syrup?
No.
It wasn't maple syrup. So
no,
it was
from a package that came with the ham. I'd never seen anything like it.
Dehydrated maple syrup.
It pretty much was. Which I wouldn't do that again. But it was still pretty good.
Which farm did you get your ham from?
We didn't. It was from Paisano's on Smith Street.
What?
It was just so, I think it was last minute that we were like, we should bring a ham. And so somebody went and picked it up last night. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Otherwise, there's plenty of farms to buy hams from. Yeah.
Yeah. I cooked a ham lately from Tamarack Hollow.
Nice.
Yeah. It was really good.
We're big fans. Eat a lot of Mike's bacon.
Mike's bacon is the best. Tamarack Hollow. And they're always there at the same spot, which is always very helpful.
That's it. Yeah. There we go. So, awesome. Yeah. Mostly last night we just, we drank a lot, ate a lot of dip and yeah.
Dips.
Yeah. Yeah. Green market potlucks are hit or miss, you know, sometimes we try and like outdo each other and it ends up being really good. And sometimes we just get really lazy.
What about a green market instead of a potluck? Green market, bring the ingredients and let's cook it.
Oh, we do that some in our office because we do cooking demos at the market. And mm-hmm. so we have all these camp stoves. And so we can just cook. One day I made collard greens for a potluck we were having in our office. And it was like 8 a.m. And my roommate had taught me how to make them with a can of Budweiser. So I have like a pot cooking collard greens next to my desk and a can of Budweiser. And my coworkers had started a meeting with Just Food, one of our peer organizations. Uh-huh. And I was like cleaning up and it's like 9 a.m. And I'm walking through the office with this can of Budweiser because I was going to recycle it. And I was like, they cannot take us seriously. We're walking through the office with like beer, you know. But I highly recommend cooking collard greens and Budweiser. It's delicious. Yeah, it really is good.
Wow, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Collard greens are so funky tasting anyway. You think you need some, maybe that'll
Chipotle,
do
pepper, Budweiser. So good.
Gosh, yep. I'll have to give that a shot.
Yeah.
Collards. Good stuff.
So we're going to do our Christmas dinner at Carmine's in Brooklyn.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. That's cool that you guys have. You guys like work so closely with each other with everybody at the green market, that is.
Yeah.
Like it's a tight-knit team.
Oh yeah, we're all in love with each other. Ooh. We're a pretty good team.
Does anybody else in the organization date each other? Are there any other couples?
A couple of them have dated farmers or farm workers. A couple of us have dated farmers or farm workers.
I've never done that at all.
Nothing? Never? Oh, you have. You're totally guilty. Yeah. But Mike is like...
What about you, Mike?
Yeah.
dated a farmer?
Yeah.
No.
He's like 10 floors below our office, and our office is like teeming with young, cute girls. So it doesn't, it's not very hard to like come waste a couple hours.
Yeah. My office is 4 50-year-old guys and me. So,
yeah. We hire small like seasonal managers, and it's like 20 to 30-year-old girls, uh-huh. You know?
Yeah.
So there's like a lot of excitement and energy around all the time.
So it's the 20, 30-year-old girls and then four old dudes and mm-hmm. you. This is too easy. It's like
shooting fish in a barrel. Yeah.
The ratio is totally off.
Right, right.
Working in the green market. Yeah. So, do you guys know anybody else who's, like, dating in the, I don't know, this small, I feel like there's this, like, you know, this clique, this family, as you refer to.
I feel like they wouldn't tell me, because they get in trouble. Like,
yeah, that's true, because traditionally
dating each other?
Dating each other, because, I mean, traditionally, dating in the same workforce is not looked upon as a good thing. It's generally disencouraged.
Yeah, I would have a little bit of trouble with it. I like that Mike like couldn't care less about food, you know, because it's like my whole life. And then I don't know
how Kathy feels about that right now.
Yeah. I mean, I had to drag him through the market sometimes. He'll eat it, you know. I get to cook as much as I want still. But I don't know if mm-hmm. I could do it. I don't know.
What is your projects usually based around then, Mike?
We do. So open space gardening has nothing to do with the green market, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We do community gardens.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are, say, 600 community gardens in the city that are registered with the Parks Department. And we've built or done major construction on about 60 of those. So right now we're building 3 community gardens.
Great. Where are they?
One's in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Wishing Well. And there's mm-hmm. one in the East Village called Generation X. And there's one in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brownsville called Phoenix Garden.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, so that's what the old guys are doing, the men's men in the mm-hmm, office.
mm-hmm. Making it.
So they're building gardens. Yeah, we also do some rainwater harvesting. Mm-hmm. We've built like 60 or so of those.
Wow. Yeah. Can you tell me what exactly is rainwater harvesting?
Oh, like, it's just like you take a gutter.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like a gutter and then a tank. You know? And you can kind of gussy it up a little bit, but. It's gonna be
within the gardens, right? Just setting it up. So
yeah, yeah. You could do it anywhere. You know, there's a roof. We did one at the PS1 PF1 exhibit last year. That big thing that was like a cascading garden. But yeah, you could put it anywhere.
And this is for on a client type basis. They hire you guys to help consult.
No, we have a contract with the Parks Department right now to build, I think, 30 rainwater harvesting systems in the next year or so.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing.
Because I've been seeing so many people, more people growing food in community gardens.
I'm always like surprised going to gardens with Mike how little food, you know, like I've been to so many gardens that weren't growing food at all. And there are more and more, I guess, but
it's like a geography thing, you know, just because of the way the city works. Gardens in Manhattan will probably be more open space, and gardens in the other boroughs will be food and stuff like that, you know. So like our garden in the East Village that we're building right now has a little children's garden on the side, but it has a stage, has a bunch of flags, it has a bunch of shade structures
because people want to use it as a
smaller.
Okay, they're smaller.
I mean, for a lot of other reasons as well, but mostly because they're smaller.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've saw the Garden of Happiness in the Bronx. There's mm-hmm. tons of veggies and they have a chicken run too. It's a real, like a small, you know, little farm in itself.
One of the programs where I work, Learn It, Grow It, Eat It, they work with students in the Bronx, and they grow food, teach about nutrition, and they grow food, and then they sell food at market. Like they do everything. So
what's that called?
Learn It, Grow It, Eat It.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
yeah. So they do it. It's all in the Bronx.
Cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, this wintry conditions we've been having this weekend, how does that affect your work working at community gardens, or for you, Mike?
I think for both of us, mm-hmm. it slows down in the winter a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're
a lot more office stuff. And
We take a lot of vacation time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We're planning a big party for a bunch of our gardeners. That'll happen later next month. Yeah. And then putting together proposals and stuff like that. Each of the gardens has a little bit of work they need done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. We only have like 18 markets that stay open through the winter. Right. So we slow down considerably. Most of our staff is done. They're all
less
seasonal.
Farmers at the markets less themselves, farmers, too.
Right? They're all like in Florida or, you know,
I was actually
reading seed catalogs.
This Saturday at Grand Army Plaza, I checked out the market right before the blizzard hit. Mm-hmm. And like the blizzard hit. It was,
yeah.
And it was freezing. And I mean, how do you feel? Like, I always feel bad when I'm buying from people who are like, you know, obviously, I couldn't sit there out in the cold.
Yeah, well, they're
forever.
They have. We were out at Grand Army for a while Saturday, too. Actually, yeah, mm-hmm. And it was. So, our friend was doing a film project, so we were helping him. But oh my god, it was so cold. But they just have their tricks. They like put sides of their tents down. They have little heaters.
They do jumping
bundled
jacks.
Up. Yeah, well, one of Mike's friends was selling Christmas trees. We got him a job selling Christmas trees, mm-hmm. And he said he was warm.
Oh, that's like, good.
Yeah.
And he had
it's
barely
funny to think
more
about,
than we did.
I'm from Pennsylvania, so I've been in the cold a lot, but I've never, like, it's standing in one place that makes you cold.
Right.
You know? I was
exactly.
In Sambas,
these guys are used
and
to
I was just standing around for an hour and a half, and I was freezing. That's
absolutely.
That's the thing.
And they're all standing on something. It's your feet that get so cold standing on the pavement, but
totally.
They bring, like, rubber mats or cardboard or wood or something, and that makes a big difference. But honestly, I always wonder if they have, like, those feet warmers or hand warmer things that, like,
hope
stay
so.
Warm. I think
I
they're
just
tough.
I'm so
they're
amazed.
Just a tough
yeah, they're
crowd.
Tough.
Yeah.
You know, they're usually, when they work in the cold, they're doing actual physical work, mm-hmm. So I always feel like this whole selling part, the whole green market aspect of their job, yeah. Is totally different demands,
yeah,
and it's just a testament of their will that they
right.
Stick it out.
I think they like that aspect of it. When I ask, I've asked a lot of farmers this because I always wonder, because it's such a to me it's like such a crazy life to like get up at 2 a.m, you know, leave the farm all day, be at the market, and then the next day get up and be on the farm all day. And
you have to
I
wear
always
so many
hear
hats.
That they like them both equally, you know, they like being on the farm. Most of them like the farm a little bit better, but they love coming in and like take a lot of satisfaction selling directly to the customers and stuff. So yeah, I don't know.
Cheers to them for that.
And they're appreciative of the customers that come out in the winter, so
know,
you can't really
true,
you
yeah.
Can't feel too bad if
but
you're
we're
there
moving.
Shopping.
They're not moving.
Yeah.
We're like
yeah. And like one of our market managers yesterday was like, oh, it was so fun. One of the customers brought a bunch of fish soup, and another customer brought us all hot chocolate.
That's amazing.
And that was in Cortellu. And she was like, they had a big snowball fight. I was like, okay, well, whatever you got to do on like a 20 degree day, you do it.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So
there's
no like some good fish soup.
I know. I was like, well, that sounds pretty good.
That actually
she was
got
so enthusiastic about it that I had to be like, well, maybe it tasted good. I don't know. Fish soup doesn't sound
that's an odd
to
one to
either.
Bring to somebody. Hey,
yeah.
Fish soup. I think I got to try that sometime
it
soon.
It doesn't surprise me that there was leftover fish soup for them to
it's like,
bring.
Usually it's like cookies or today I brought truffles for
fish
everyone here
in
Alberta.
Fish soup. It's just like a container change.
Yeah. Right.
Fish soup is good. I mean, I haven't done that in a long time. Now I'm all inspired.
Yeah, you could take some to your farmers.
Fish soup. For farmers and everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's hard. It's like this, there's still so much snow on the sidewalk or finding parking. I mean, our managers are just shoveling snow.
And their products freeze too.
Everything.
The produce totally frozen.
Yeah.
I saw people with tomatoes yesterday.
Me too. I saw tomatoes.
That were rocks.
Yeah, I couldn't believe I saw tomatoes on
I was
a table
like,
on Saturday.
Yeah.
Frozen solid.
My spinach I got was like totally frozen when I got home.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's one for the freezer now.
Yeah. But lucky for the meat people, they don't have to worry about the coolers and stuff.
Yeah,
so
it works perfectly.
Yeah.
Totally sanitary here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, cool. All right. So thanks so much for coming on the air, guys. Again, for you, Liz, this is your fourth appearance on Heritage Radio Network.
Yeah, my last.
Veteran. And Mike, this is your first, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it was good to have you on Let's Eat In.
Cool. Thanks.
I'd like to thank Fairway Market once again, Jack Inslee and Nat Wiener. Thanks so much for coming on, joining on Let's Eat In. See you next week.